All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Explicit Podcast Measures.
Oh, dang it.
It's been a long weekend. It's messed me up. Welcome to the Explicit Measures Podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday. It feels like Monday because, you know, we all had a nice extra day off this weekend.
It does feel like Monday. I completely agree. We had a full day. I'll tell you what. Someone told me this a while ago when we first had kids. He's like, just so you know, when you have kids, you don't get a 3-day weekend. Like 3-day weekends don't exist. Mm. And I said, what are you talking about? And it's because you have to fill it. You have to plan it. I have never said in the last 3 years, what do you do on Monday? Nothing. On a 3-day weekend, and that has been very true.
Your kids are a bit younger, Tommy, and I think the age of your children affects some of your perception there. Because I didn't have anything going on Monday, and so we've been getting in our family into model rocketry. It's something I did when I was a kid with my dad, and so we've been getting into that a bit more. And we found a great deal on Facebook Marketplace, and the deal was an hour away. So we drove an hour on Monday, my son and I picked up some rockets and brought them back home. So now we have a nice collection of antique rockets that someone else has built, and we're going to repair a couple and fix a couple of things here and there. We've got a couple fins missing, stuff like that. But we're going to go, we'll launch them as a family. We kind of go out, we have a launching system, and we launch rockets together, which is kind of fun.
A bit October Sky-esque. Sorry, old movie.
I don't even know that. I don't think I've ever watched that movie, honestly.
Don't worry about it.
I don't watch a lot of movies.
Didn't that end poorly? I'm trying to think. Anyway, that's cool. Yeah, that's but awesome. I agree.
More like mini SpaceX. That's what we're doing.
We were at a get together, and my wife actually made a comment in a similar way, right? Because there was another family there, and all young ones, and the mom was just running around chasing them the whole time. And we're like, you know, it's nice not to be in that realm anymore with the kids. Like they're off in the swimming pool. They're doing their fun thing with their friends, and you just get to step back a little bit. So
just a little
you'll
bit.
Get there, Tommy.
Tell me more about this. Tell me more about this, please. I had a friend who was like, how do you guys have any time to do anything? He said, time? Who said anything about time?
100%.
What is this life you speak of?
Still definitely, I think, Mike, you're a bit more, you're further out than I am. Like, yes. I still have early mornings, and kids don't really sleep in that much without whining. But
we get occasional wake-ups at night when kids have bad dreams or don't feel good, or, you know, that's just going to always go with the territory. But in general, they can entertain themselves more so now. My son and my middle child just went through, my daughter just went through babysitting classes with the, I think it's Red Cross. There's some kind of like a, you can go get training for that. So now they're all like, we can be alone for a little while now. We can watch other kids now. I'm like, well, slow down there. You're not quite that old yet. We're going to keep an eye on you still. But at least that way, you know, if we go get the mail from the mailbox, the house won't burn down.
So question for you guys. On a day that you're not doing Power BI, do you ever think about how Power BI can improve your life? And let me set this up a little more. We were barbecuing yesterday. We went over to someone else's house on Sunday to barbecue, and they made the perfect steak, like just perfect steak. And I'm barbecuing yesterday, and I'm like, I wonder if I could connect something to here. And every time I make the same food, the same sausage, yada, yada, yada. Is there a way that you could actually say like the ideal way, like, you know, how long it's been on, how hot it's been. And then you can basically input how well that, let's say, burger turned out. Like, do you guys ever think about this stuff where how you can measure your own like little day-to-day stuff?
One, I guess the first comment I have is how dare you try to like kill the nuance and art of cooking and turn it into a repeatable process. That's something I can't get behind there. But two, in other areas, all the time. Like I would say, yes, there's a good portion of time where a Power BI report will accomplish what I want it to. Like just recently, we moved, and the school season was starting, and we had mentioned to our children that if they wanted to go to their old school, they could. the problem with that is it's a half hour drive away. So that would be 2 hours in a car every single day for mom and dad. That's not ideal. So how do you convince? I mean, provide insights to a child that they don't want to do that, right? One of those ways would be like all the free time that they would be losing. So I put together a report to track how much free time they would be losing across the school year, compare the school days and, you know, all the things, and it helped. So they don't go there anymore.
I know you did a pie chart.
They can walk. They could walk to the school bus stop and 5 minutes away, making friends in the neighborhood. All the good things that came out of the insights brought with those reports. Tommy, maybe it was more infographic because I was trying to convince as opposed to just providing
more insights. persuasive paper kind of thing.
He's drawing paper, no measurement. Yeah.
That's right. So, Tommy, I am thinking of a million ways, and I think more of my mind goes towards building power apps, or so maybe more so than Power BI reports. There's a good amount of, like, you know, places where I can look at the data or see the output of data, but usually more of my mindset goes to how can I build a power app or some kind of way to ingest the data into a common place. I actually spent some time with the family building a chore chart check-in list, basically. So like a power app that would, we have a list of chores that kids need to do. And I wanted them to kind of start verifying that they could get this stuff done. So we have like an extra iPad around the house. And so, you know, we're thinking, okay, well, you do the chore and take a picture of the chore completed. And then you can upload that to the power app. And then we have a little, and then it's checked, the checkbox is done. So we know who you are, what you did, when you did it. And that way at the end of the week, we could amply pay you for your time of doing the chores that we've assigned to you.
That's actually a really good idea, because like if you think about, yeah, but even in today's day and age, like with packages that are delivered, like they have to take the pictures and like you're prepping them for,
you said hey, empty the trash.
You need to take this technology thing and make use of it. And that's a good idea.
You know, you said you're going to clean the sink, you know, take a picture when it's clean, you know, and you know, so that's, we've done a couple of times with the, having them text us some things of pictures when they're done with the stuff that, so it's, it becomes this, it becomes a stamp of proof at some point, right? Cause they'll say, oh yeah, I emptied the trash. Did you all the cans in the house? Oh no, I just emptied the one in the kitchen. Okay, emptying the trash means the whole house. Like, let's do all the cans, make sure they're all empty, as opposed to just doing one can, one part of the house.
What a great use case for scorecards and metrics in Power BI. You have each kid as their own, and you're basically tracking if they do, like, the 7 a week.
Another example of this one was, I believe Kim Manis had done something for her children. Kim Manis was a product manager of the Power BI team, and she was tracking kids or inputting data somewhere, and she was able to track kids' schedule, sleep cycles, or when they were sleeping and stuff like that. So I believe she had also built a report around her family as well, helping her track the various things. So you might say
that your kids had to follow part of a process.
Oh, what a great lead-in!
Yeah. Yes. Could I just share my first power app? I'm sorry.
Ruin the lead-in.
Fine.
This is a great lead-in.
It will be worth it. My first power app I ever created as I was tinkering was actually for my wife, and it was the same time.
Uh-oh. Careful, Tommy. I'm going to caution you now. This is on thin ice. Just be careful what you say right now. All the wives are listening to this and going, I'm going to tell Tommy's wife what he said.
Right.
Okay, proceed.
Well, it's very, very good. You know, in good spirit, but we were getting right near the nine month mark. And as the labor contraction started, I said, Sarah, all we have to do is whenever your contraction starts is enter. I'm going to open my phone and here's your power app.
Yep.
And then it will alert us when it's time to go to the hospital. How great. For some reason, she did not care as much at the time of how great this was. Because literally, like, I did not warn her about this. I said, no, just press it now. And she's like, anyways, that was the first time, because I did create it where it had a timer. It would do the whole thing. And then it had some formula to say, it would just, a pop-up would show up and go, time to go.
Go to the hospital. It's amazing.
So did she use it for any of your other subsequent kids, or this was like for the last one?
No, this was the first. So this was like snapping the phone kind of thing. Like, let me see that. So I was like, okay, this is different than I thought.
Pregnancy. So this would be something like you built a piece of technology that nobody wanted to use.
That's exactly.
Yeah, I see where you're going with
this. Yeah. Amazing.
So tell me more, Seth.
Well, you started the conversation with my 9-month-old pregnant wife and technology. I was like, this is not going to go well.
Surprisingly, yeah. Surprisingly not the best mix.
I can read how this one's gonna come out, and this is not gonna come out well for your tummy. Yeah. But that being said though, this does form into a good, you know, we have two examples now, one of a good process and one of maybe not a good process at this point. So we've been talking about a series here. We're going through the PPT or people process technology kind of topics around how tools and technology influence people and your processes within your organizations. So yeah, this is going to be kind of just our intro again. We've already talked through on episode 139, I believe. We talked about the people part of it. And I think a lot on this podcast, we deal a lot with just talking through how do you interact with people? How do you motivate people? How do you get people working together as a team, building that culture of data? So let's focus a bit more on the process side of things. Kick us off, Tommy. You know, give us a definition around when we say process in the lens of Power BI. Right. What is that triggering your mind? What are some thoughts around what does that mean to you?
I think out of all the three, the people, process, technology, this is probably the most vague. It's not like a set. Like, oh, I understand what technology is. I understand what people are. I think we're all gonna have three separate definitions. We'll see. So if I'm a betting man, that's what I would say. But in my point of view, process is very much the structure, consistency of how to get things done. And honestly, especially with Power BI, and I think especially in the relation with technology, it's really just the expectations on the expectations, how we're going to do things and what the expectations of what the objectives are and what we're going to accomplish. But it's all about how we do it. I know how to do it a certain way. I know how we're going to submit the information. I know how we're going to build the report, working the collaboration with the people and what the technology is going to output. But at the end of the day, process sets up the expectations more than anything between the solution domain and the problem domain.
Well, I'm glad you brought up solution domain and problem domain. No, go ahead, Seth. What were you thinking? What's your thought around what does process mean to you?
Well, when I look for definitions, I look for the standard truth definitions that we can all rely on, which come from like Merriam-Webster, a series of actions or operations conducing to an end. There. Now we can almost like have the same starting point as opposed to Tommy's approach of let's define things in different ways.
No, it's no, hold on.
It's just a new.
Okay,
it's
okay.
I did run across another site that I liked their definition of process is a series of actions or steps that need to happen in order to achieve a particular goal, right? And I think for me, this conversation is going to go into two different directions, right? And maybe this is where you were headed with that process solution domain. One is, I think, discussion around how do we accomplish larger projects and goals? Mm-hmm. And then also, how do we produce repeatable like outcomes in some of the things we do. And I think that's where it's going to relate more to some of the things we've probably talked about in the past, but we'll probably reiterate today around your Power BI report build process and some of the things that right. are important to have in those areas. And that's how I'd kind of look at the conversation. What about you, Mike?
I think two things really resonated with me, and I'm probably going to focus more on the accountability side and the documenting of where those processes rely, especially as you think through organizations. I work with a lot of companies where there really isn't a documented process and it's not put anywhere for anyone to see. And I think there's a lot of, I think Tommy, you said it very well in your comment there was around part of this is around managing expectations for people around what is the process? How long should it take us to build a report? I think those kind of things as well are in some ways we're kind of using the process to manage upward a little bit, right? Here's the documented process. Here's how long it takes us to get it from dev. You know, here's what the QA process looks like. Here's how to get it into production. Hey, we're going to use these deployment pipeline things. This is what we expect it to be doing. if you're going to have a certified data set, here's the rules, the requirements that we're going to, this is the process we're going to follow. We're going to follow these steps to make sure that that data set can move from a self-service model into a governed IT-based model piece of things. So I think those are the areas where I'd like to push on when I'm thinking about process. I think we could all agree it's a series of actions to produce an outcome. But I think I like, Seth, your spin on that one as well, is where you said it's producing a consistent outcome. What is process is there to conform behavior to some degree. And so that's kind of where I'm focusing on. How do you communicate the expectations such that people can get on board and have successes with this? And I would say part of the reason of having process is to remove variability or speed things up, right? If you know what process to follow, you can check off those boxes, you can prepare things, and hopefully that removes simple mistakes within your process or simple mistake within report building.
I mean, of all of the things that we talk about, I think process, it's interesting, Tommy, that you say this is the most ambiguous kind of the three. So I want to dive into that a little bit, but yeah. Like of all the things we talk about, I think process is one of those where the, you know, are we saving money or making money phrase definitely like for sure plugs in, right? Like yeah. you're driving for efficiencies or you're driving for a specific outcome in a particular time frame that is going to net you making money, right? So, I mean, that's the whole point of, you know, the process part of this triangle, right? Is ensuring that when you have the right people in technology, you can launch the technology or whatever you need to get into the hands of the customer that are going to make the business money. I guess what are, and draw me back if you have another comment you want to make in here before here, Tommy, but like, what are the components or parts of the process that you guys see have to be there, should be there when you're trying to accomplish something? And Mike, you drew in a couple of them, but I want to frame all of those out if we can.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, and it's funny though, when you, as I said, it was the most ambiguous, and to your point, it's the one that actually plays in all parts of our lives, personally and professionally. Everything we just talked about now, your relationships, whether it's with your spouse or with your friends or with what you do, there's still some technology and some expectations that you have. Whether it's cooking, where you have your technologies, your grill, or the tools that you're using. And because I think when we say technology, it's not so much like a computer, it's just the tools that we have to achieve a certain goal. And we have that expectation on beforehand. But the components that you need, to me, it starts with understanding what the right technology is, what the right tools are for what we're trying to achieve. And I think Mike said this too. It's all about, you start with the outcome. What is our desired outcome? You cannot create a good process or have a good relationship or expectations with the other side, because this is always going to be part with someone else. Like, process does not exist alone. So then it's setting up the outcome, what the desired outcome is, that if we do this, this should always occur, or this type of result should always occur. Then the other part is the communication. That's the other essential part of this, whether it is with just yourself, but it's the different parts of the process on what should be happening at certain times, especially if people are involved. It is essential, imperative, that those people have that clear communication, because expectations, to me, is the same thing as trust, or very close to, where they are very codependent on one another. You lose expectations, you're not going to have trust. You set expectations, trust builds. So I think the right tools for the right time, which is the technology side for what we're trying to achieve, the outcome or expected outcome, and the communication.
Okay, Mike.
So I think some, you know, areas where I'm looking at employing a deeper level around process, I think I'm really trying to communicate the gap or the process around, how do we get from someone's idea? Like, I'm just going to throw you an Excel sheet and expect something to come out of it, something that's usable for the business. So I think, you know, where I'm focusing a lot of my time is, what are the things that we would like to do to make sure that we have a standard, or we have standards inside our organization that help us evaluate, is this data set personal? Is this data set certified? Is this data set going to be using a deployment pipeline? So I think depending on how you want to employ Power BI in your environment, some companies don't have the luxury of going to premium. So that kind of, I think that somewhat in somewhat the licensing kind of affects your process to some degree about what you do inside Power BI. So I guess I would kind of point on my areas there is I'm looking for, you know, how do we build the report? What are the requirements around getting a report out the door? And I'm thinking more, these are processes around the central BI team. And then we think about part of like, there's a whole area around admin and governance pieces. You know, when you start looking at premium, that gets a bit more important. Who's using what content? Where's content being shared across the organization? How do we define measures? What do those look like? What are some best practices in data modeling? Because these are the things that, frankly, I'm paid to come clean up when they're not right. So when organizations don't apply these kind of principles or guidelines or standards across the company, this is when you hire consultants because the model won't refresh. It falls over. We can't, you know, there's it's slow. No one wants to use it. Those kind of problems are then being resolved by employing some part of a process to fix that. Those would be kind of my pieces.
So I would, on a high level, right? I'll start at a higher level, right? Like ultimately, the goal is I think already assumed, right? There's something we want to achieve as a company. In order to achieve that process, in order to achieve that thing, we should develop a process so that if we want to build the same repeatable thing, we're going to get there the same. Yeah, maybe not. Well. Get the output is going to be the same if we go through this iteration multiple times,
mm-hmm.
right? Or we create this object and we need to create variants of it, but the final product should be similar or the same, right? So the components that I see on a higher level that I think still dovetail into what you were talking about, Mike, are like, who are the key owners? Identify who the owners are within this thing to get things done. What are the key milestones? And I think you address those in a specific case of the milestones are we do a discovery. We engage with the end user. We understand the audience. We understand what the report needs are.
What are the insights? We write them down, define what those things are at front. It's that way we know what we're building too. We're not just saying, make it a table.
But then there are things that we certainly can dive into deeper, and I want to do that after I talk about this, but what are like the additional automated or templates or like things that should automatically just take that variable kind of differences of data and insights and then filter it through the same presentation or creation method, et cetera, to result in something that looks and feels and is presented in a very similar way. And then tracking things, right? Like in larger projects, it's who owns these things? How are we driving towards these key milestones? How are we tracking our progress? Because if there's a goal to achieve something, right? Like there's almost certainly a timeline. Are we on track?
Yeah.
Are we off track?
And then that boils, I mean, you can say time is the portion here, but it's also, you could very much quickly equate that to money, right? How much money do we need to spend to get this whatever report insight thing out the door? And if we can do it in a week versus 3 weeks, great. Like let's put process around this to speed up that time to delivery. That's what people want.
Well, I want to back up. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Hang on, Tommy. Let Tommy.
Yeah, yeah.
You had one more point, Seth. I'm sorry. I thought your point was very, very relevant. I wanted to kind of add that point.
I have a couple. So Tommy, if you want to interject, but
I would rather not derail at this point.
So. Tommy's going to switch topics.
No, I want to. Yeah.
Go.
I'm going to drink some water.
Then I'm going to lean into Mike's point before I move on.
Okay.
I think Mike, you just hit one of the largest areas that businesses don't think about, which is if I don't have a process or my process isn't dialed in, the amount of time and it takes resources to go do the thing.
Correct.
Is money. Right? Like, and I think there, in my experience, sometimes there's this huge disconnect between someone who's selling something and the amount of time that it's going to take to develop or build something are so unbelievably skewed that it's not even worth the sell.
Yep.
Right. So when we develop goals or things that we want to build from a technology perspective, like it's important to understand that what is that time piece? And then internally, if we don't have our processes dialed in and that time piece starts to, you know, increase or whatnot, there's a cost there.
Yes.
There's absolutely a cost there. So Tommy, what point were you going
to
make in here?
Well, and I want to make sure too, we're not just talking about a singular project that we're doing. And I know some of the things we're talking about, like, hey, we're going to do this to achieve this, right? Well, a lot of times when we're talking about process, it's something consistent that you're implementing in the company or the organization. And I think we have to remember too, our role in this, if we're building reports or Power Apps or whatever part that I think our role still play is we are the owners of the architecture of how the data flows through the organization. And this is the essential and what data should be shown at certain times. This is very relevant, especially when you're dealing in the Power Platform and because you're going to touch different parts of the business at certain times. Mm-hmm. And the certain data needs to be available to either modify or input. But other times is what the consumption is and what we're going to see. Like, I think we can't understate when we talk technology part of the process here, we're also really speaking data. And again, not just data on a report, on a bar chart, but it's very much to your point also about, what are we saving and what are the insights? We have to remember, like, we're architecting how that data is going to flow in at a certain time in a certain way. And that's part of that expectation too, where we're building something. It's always going to show these numbers for me at a certain time, or we're building this report. We're building whatever this application, right? That we need to make sure that, okay, you need X, Y, and Z to show up at a certain time. We're building your KPI scorecard, or we're building this Power App. What should be seen at certain times? How should that be automated? And I think you did speak to that real quick. And how consistent should you be able to see it? Like, how much is it refreshed? All these different things where we're kind of responsible for that, on that flow of the data.
That's a really good point, right? Because so far our conversation and where I was thinking is project Power BI related, but you bring up internal efficiencies, right? That we have processed is to make sure that people understand how to access information, how to do their jobs faster. And I think that's a really good one because keying in on understanding what those processes look like and the framework for that is imperative to have in place before you even think about trying to like launch a COE or like follow the adoption roadmap. Because if you don't have those kind of roads already built for people to like easily engage with, then you're already setting yourself up for failure because people don't know that you built this thing. And I think that's a great side thing too, is where I'm not a huge proponent of process everything to death.
Right.
Right. But you can also build a process and put it on paper and not train people how to use it. And it's useless.
Right.
Exactly. But the other components of this that are really important are proper training and instruction of how people should engage or have to engage in these processes so that you achieve the efficiencies that you need. So I want to dive into that further
too. Yeah.
But I think the last two points of my components, one that relate, I think, more to the Power BI and project related are a review stage, right? Where there's peer review on what's going out the door or that we are achieving success in what we're trying to build or you know, put out there together. And then ultimately within here, measuring how to measure success in this whole process that you've built. Right.
And my point, and I think that part, like, we're dealing with on an everyday basis, and we have to have that skill. I think what I'm harping is, don't forget where your data is coming from. Like, someone's inputting the data, your dimensions, what the product hierarchy or sales and marketing. My goodness, that we're relying on people to have a good process to input the right information, like the quota, where people are from, what their country is, what kind of member they are. With marketing, it's all about the tracking. If there's no process there, and I'm not necessarily saying we have to own that, But at the same time, I think we have to be a player in that to help say, hey, you want your data a certain way. You want to be able to track things way. Well, if you don't have a process inputting that information the right way, we can't help you. Like, yeah, we can't just fix everything in a Power BI report when there's broken process because everyone's doing their own, you know, how they're inputting the information. Because half the data we have is that essential piece where a person is putting in what a dimension is and what the categories are.
I feel like a lot of what we're talking about here is at this central BI level of things. And so I think also here as well, I mean, I think the training portion is a very, actually I was taking notes on this, right? That's one of my key bullets here as I'm jotting down notes from the conversation. It's really around talking through what does training look like? Are there specific hurdles or hoops that you need to jump through in order to use Power BI? Power BI is a great tool. It is free. You can go download desktop and just have it and work on it. And you can technically email or share around PBIX files to other individuals that can just go look at data things that you've done. So there is a large portion of self-service that sits in this Power BI space. But if, you know, I'm also assuming here to some degree that some people in the organization may know about Power BI. If you're moving from another tool like a Click or Tableau or something else, you're starting, I mean, Power BI has some similarities, but it's also very different in a lot of ways. There's things you can't do. So what does that training look like? Hey, we have this filter pane thing. It's limiting because it can't move around the report page, but do we do a bunch of slicers? Do we do a bunch of stuff on the filter pane? What's best practice? And so as I think about, you know, the spectrum of people in a company and companies that are starting the journey with Power BI for the first time, I think there's a larger portion of this around education, having people go through training. What means you can get access to a workspace? Do you want to govern it that way? Is it going to be wide open? Everyone innovate and see what comes out of it. So I think there are challenges by going different directions with that. But I think you can't underestimate the point around ample training and making sure people understand what you're giving them and how they know how to use it. I think it's huge.
Yeah. So just real quick, a question on how much do we own as, call it the centralized BI team, or really the roles that we play in the organization as BI. Two, where the data is getting input or a certain team has a certain way they want to see the data. If it's like, hey, you know what? Countries are actually, we show countries a different way. We don't show it based on the billing. We show it based on where the country is actually located, like, or the account's located. Something ambiguous like that needs a process to me, because how we're going to actually display that in the report and then also communicate it if the organization does it a different way. And Mike, it's a good point, is governance, but also where do we play in that to say, okay, we're going to create a process around this, or should we?
I mean, so this is where I kind of struggle a little bit, right? I'm very pro the self-service BI side of things. Get in there, get things going, right? On the other hand, there has to be some gating to what stuff becomes certified or regularly produced, or there's some kind of standards behind what becomes more essential to the business. And I think if you step back and look at every business I've ever worked with, there is some information that is needed by a very small group of people, an audience. There is a team that works on very specific data things, and that's what, you know, that's what they need to do their job. And they're, frankly, they're already figuring out how to get their data. They're exporting it from somewhere. They're using it locally. They're probably doing something in Excel. Maybe they're up using Access. Sure. It's everything local on a machine, right? And they're just self-serving and doing it today. It's still self-service. And so I'd even argue the self-service BI has been around for a long time, since Excel came out, maybe to some degree. But then on the other hand of this, if I think about how this works in the lens of Power BI, of that company, if you look about all the data things that people are self-servicing on top of, there's probably portions of that that are important enough, that are the reports are coming out and being viewed at the high enough level of the organization that we should put some rigor around what those reporting elements look like. And how do you know when those things are important? Well, if that user left and you turned off their account, would you be able to reproduce the report or the insights that they were producing previously? Is it documented well enough? Is it in a process where you could lift it to the next person? Could you give them what it is so they could continue to run the business? And I think those, that to me, that's one of the major checkpoints that I'm looking for when I'm talking with organizations are, okay, where is your strategic data? How would this happen if Mike leaves or as Seth moves on, and what happens next? How does that, if this thing can continue to live on without me being involved, maybe we're building the right processes or things inside the organization that can repeatedly do these things. Because a lot of times I've walked into companies and they're like, so-and-so left, they moved on. We now have this huge problem. There's this crazy data model or this massive thing, and we don't know how it works, and it's very slow to update. And we got all these things attached to it. We don't know what's going on. So just to me, it points to there's not enough education on what the process was to get there. And again, is we're talking self-service to enterprise in the self-service space, right? It's less governed. It's going to be a bit more messy. So just define what that process is to get it out of self-service into something that's strategic. So one, how do you identify things that are strategic or not? And then what is the process to get them out of that self-service mode into a more strategic area? Those are kind of my initially my thoughts based on what you said, Tommy.
I think like one of the things that I heard you say, Tommy, is leads more into data governance or master data management, and how you as an organization need to consolidate certain things so that if you're generating reporting, it's consistent. Where you have potential variability in each business unit. Did I hear you right? Or am I going down a road that you didn't?
No, you're right. I've had situations where we've had, I don't want to say band-aid approaches, but it's, to me, that just has played in the process, because when people don't have that clear expectation of how like to input the data, like, well, we don't do it this way. We actually entered into some Excel file to success point, trying to get people in aligned the right way. It plays, but I think to your point, yeah, it is still governance. It plays, that's a little more on the back end, so to speak, not so much on what we're actually doing from the front end.
Yeah. And that's realistically like where I think it is. Cause those are the harder conversations, because the organizational leadership needs to value the efforts to consolidate data in that way. Cause those are not easy streamlines to do. And then you have to go tell business units like this is how these systems now are interconnected, or you just leave them out of it. Right. For the most part. Right. So if you have different business units that are calling, you know, things differently, it's likely they're in different systems potentially. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's this consolidation effort, understanding the business unit, unifying it, creating master data records, and then being able to generate reporting off of that, versus kind of what I'm hearing from you is you just have this difference between business units. And I think in general, that's okay, as long as the reporting is consistent in that business unit. But then when the conversation comes like, well, why is this way here and not there? Well, that's the way they're running their area of the business. If that's not acceptable, then we need to go focus on this internal level of, unifying data in a much heavier way. And those lifts get bigger because there's typically a lot more structure around them from a technology perspective. Yeah.
For some reason, I always seem to gravitate back towards governance. But just to me, like
certain data is very relevant to be governed. And I think when you talk about master data across the organization, if people are going to build their own reports, so we're blending in this area where, so traditionally, right, you'd have a data warehouse, something. And you would bring in a bunch of master data, and you'd have a team that would groom it and create it, and then even potentially produce all the reports for you from it. Well, and then you'd give users access to that, and they could go build their own things. So in essence, you're doing basically the same thing now with Power BI, but you're even giving more flexibility. So maybe having that master data exposed as a data flow table that you can go consume might be the right approach. Yeah. Might be something where you want to start centralizing those things. So what I feel like is happening is, we're giving more access to people to data sets further upstream than we ever have before. And it is allowing users to self-serve and do a lot more of their own data creation, generation assets of things.
Well, I can't tell you how many times, or the amount of issues where someone's like, show me the top, we want to see our top 10 countries for accounts from sales. And someone will go, why is the country blank for number two? And then you go look at all those companies and you're like, you never
filled it out.
Yeah. And to me, like that's such a process part, obviously, but is that, yeah. And just those situations.
This is the thing we get beat up as the BI, right. We get the beat up of like, why is that data wrong? I don't know.
It's maybe not you wrong. It wrong. Yes.
Like, what the heck? I mean, right. but
everything starts in the why is your report wrong?
Why is your report right. wrong? No, but
let me
go walk through it. Actually, my report's right. It's showing exactly what it should be showing. Yeah. It's your data that's junk. And so
because for zip code you put Tampa. Yeah.
Exactly. No, it doesn't work. So this is my point though. Like, so what we should be thinking about here in that specific scenario, right? When there are problems like that, right? This is what we've talked about this before, when I've talked about data quality, right? If you want a good data quality, you need that for data science and predictive things. For one, the cleaner data you get, the better your machine learning will be. And then in addition to that, I feel like it's an asymptotic curve where if you get closer, the closer you get to 100% clean, good data, the more money you'll spend. So the price goes up the closer you get to 100% clean data. And that is a moving target because you bring on someone new and they start typing in Tampa in the zip code field and there's nothing to lock you out and only let you pick from a list of zip codes or whatever that may be. People are crafty and will put weird data in weird places inside the systems. So you're going to get that out. So I think, you know, this is very relevant around building process. This is a great use case around what does the quality of this data need to be? Let's talk about what does good data quality look like. And but again, this is where I waffle a little bit, right? Because this is really much more on the BI team, right? Clearly communicating expectations, clearly defining what the data quality should be, and have a report that defines that. That's a lot of work to do that. And master data management is very expensive. Any program you use out there is going to be a lot of money. It's not cheap.
I would argue, though, we have a responsibility if we're considered the solution domain, if that is a problem, and this is not so much a governance thing, that is really a process around the organization to bring that up to a stakeholder or to leadership going, look, people are complaining that things are blank here, but it's because those things are not inputted correctly in your CRM system or wherever that is. We recommend to solve this because we're not going to solve this with two Excel files merging together and, you know, trying to band-aid this. If you really want to solve this, because people complain about this and now they don't trust us, so to speak, you need a process around inputting this information.
Yeah. I mean, there's other teams you need to work in coordination with, right?
Totally.
Like, and that needs, like I said, though, that's a significant investment. So it could just be, okay, it's not going to be something that we see in reporting or, Tommy, to your point, I do agree. It's the responsibility to wave the flag and say, yeah, hey, you have a problem here. Here's that problem. You need to go fix it, right? It's not the responsibility of the BI team to go start mucking with source system data and fixing data there.
Exactly. Or, right.
I think in my experience, I am loath to start building logic to account for it. Like, I'm not going to do that. Fix your data in your source system. Right.
Yeah.
One comment that was made earlier by new BI, right? I do want to lean into a little bit about project scope expansion, because if you're going to take away anything, I think from the process conversation for us, it falls in the realm of the significant impacts to how do you protect your sanity, right? Around specifically the process by which requests come into you and reports are generated, because this is such a huge area for all of us. That I want to lay out kind of my thoughts on it and how I try to engage businesses with or my business. But ultimately, you can solve a lot of this with automated workflow systems, a lot of it, but it's not going to do it all for you. Something like Jira, I'm very familiar with, right? Like, it's a ticketing system, statuses change, you know, you can see how things are tracking, when they're planned to be executed, et cetera. But part of your process in having new requests or backlog of items come in is this grooming process, right? And if people aren't familiar with that, essentially what you're asking from, you know, typically this is a tech side, and we as BI folks fall into that, hey, we're building a report. This involves a lot of technology, a lot of different things, and then we're going to produce something for you. It starts with a business need, though, right? Somebody has a request, and they need to be pushed into a place where they can clearly articulate what their business use case is and the requirements that they have for their request, for the report that they want you to generate, for the project that they want you to build, et cetera. If you don't start from a place of like, yeah, you and I are on the same page, I understand, like, this is the empathetic aspect, right? Like, I understand what you're trying to tell me. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions in here. We're going to do this pre-questioning, make sure I understand all of the scope of what it is you need me to do. Then you formally bring that, right? And that's typically called like a grooming session. And that's where the team comes in, right? So that everybody on the teams know what's being requested by the business, everybody's on the same page, and you estimate the work based on what these requirements are and that feedback that has preliminarily gone through in all of these pre-conversations. And then you have an agreement between you and the business that says, this is going to take us 2 weeks, and this is why, right? Here's our estimate for this thing. You go from a planning phase then into here's when we schedule this. Typically, those are called sprints, right? Or maybe you do a waterfall or whatever the case may be, like how, depending on you or your team. It's a way to safeguard your capacity as an individual against the business needs. Because Tommy, I know you lived here for forever, is a business will always have more needs than your capacity, typically. And that's team-wise, that's individual-wise, but it's important for you to not push back, but for the business to understand that in order for them to accomplish and get the things that they need, one of two things happens. Either there's enough capacity to meet that need, or there's not, or they need to reprioritize what they want in the order that they want it so that your capacity and the needs that you can fulfill in this process are something that can, like, are going to lead to valuable outcomes. Ultimately, like, that's where then we can start to iterate and build with the customer and, you know, eventually drive towards sign off. And systems of record, like automated workflow systems, allow the business to understand like what status you're at, how far along in the process you are, all those good things. But ultimately, like, you don't need, like, you don't, it's harder to manage on your own, but like, those are the gates I would 100% put in place, because then you have a basis to,
yeah,
to not have it be a personal thing, right? Because I'll tell you exactly what happens, right? You go through this process, you have a backlog of four reports. One of them is going to take 2 weeks. One is a couple days. One is a week, whatever. Like, there's plenty of work for you to do. And then a week into you building the 2 week long thing, the business is going to come along and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, there's a fire drill.
Fire. Yep.
There's a fire drill. We now need you to work on this. And what happens is, if you don't have this process and structure in place, you go, okay, you want me to drop everything and work on this? Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
So you go do that.
We don't know. Want it all done.
You go do that. And then the next week, when the fires calm down, they come back and say, why aren't you done with this project? Well, that would have required me to work 18 hours a day to do that. Well, our deadline was this. Now that customer's upset.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in that process, then there's this thing called change management, right? If you have a fire drill and this customer or this problem is much more important than the stuff I was working on, I'm now pausing that work, and that's now delayed out to here. I didn't choose that. You chose that, right? The business needs drove that change. This is how, like, I'm now protected by my process, right? I'm 100% engaged. I'm 100% devoting all my time to these things, but this is why, like, spending that time up front to get an agreement between you and somebody else in this build process is so imperative, because if you don't have that, this is where we burn out, right? You're always going to have something else. There's always going to be more poured into the funnel. And if you're not managing your funnel appropriately, then
then you're setting yourself up to be the guy who like just can't sustain anything, and you're not going to be happy.
Allow me to emphasize
all of that. Yeah. That's, I think, the key part of like where process really locks in for me on a daily basis, is making sure I manage those expectations through this build process. And that's what's really, really important for everybody to be, I think, keyed in on, because then it's no longer a Tommy, you're not performing. Seth, you're not performing. It's like, well, no, we are, right? It's just the business expectations are so wild and they don't understand them, right? And this is where that definition of this process and the alignment and agreement of everybody to use it is key, because otherwise those people requesting stuff are going to start skipping things.
Yeah.
They start skipping the process, and it's like, fine, your choices or your lack of planning are impacting the business. It's not my capacity to do things, because I've already told you, here's how I'm executing on the backlog you've already provided. Right. And that's where, like, if you want to see, I think in my mind, where process really works and is significantly changing for a developer or Power BI report person, that's the one area.
Well, and allow me to emphasize that, man, because I mean, first, as everyone's been saying, and I'll completely agree, preach, brother, because I mean, it is so imperative. That's something that we've done for implementation planning for Power BI when you're starting off, right? Because a lot to what you're speaking of, there's buy-in, not just on the process, but buy-in with the people. And you have to come in as somebody where they're going to trust you, right? Before they sign off on anything. So we would always do this with our project planning for like the year, or the first time we were brought in for Power BI implementation for new reports, where we go, what's your current state of Power BI of reporting, and what's the ideal state? And then we start working on, what are the barriers? What are the problems? Because sometimes we don't know it. And we basically put together like a project roadmap that we would not start working on anything. And it wasn't necessarily like a single project. This was for each department that we would do, for like what kind of reporting do we want to do? What's the project roadmap? We would not start working on anything till there's sign off. Here's the low hanging fruit. Here's the ideal state for your reporting 90 days out, where we want to be. Here's 9 months out. Where do we want to be from a reporting point of view? And we wouldn't touch anything until that was signed off, because it cannot be understated what you said, right? I mean, you put the words better than I really think I could, but how important it is of those expectations, of that clear communication, and because that then establishes trust. Trust that you can do it, trust you can do it at this time. And you can always then go back to, hey, listen, you said, you know, you want these things done. If we're going to change something, go back to the document or go back to whatever that plan was and saying, it's going to adjust this. Are you okay with that?
Right.
So
short and long term
fit into that
realm, right? Because it's 100%. The estimating part of that and planning. And that dives into like what you were kind of referencing is like, do you like OKRs and OGSMs, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you have long-term strategic goals that we need to hit? And if you're constantly like introducing all these fire drills, we're not going to hit these longer term goals.
Right.
So don't expect, like, there's going to be a tipping point here where you need to adjust your expectations.
Well, and part of that is our responsibility to be proactive. If things do go in kind of on the wrench, to speak to that going, hey, just letting you know, we can't do this, but based on our plan, right, based on what we want to achieve, it's going to adjust that.
And that's,
we have to be responsible.
Yeah. And that's where the reason I love process, not just for process sake, but going through this and having this, is because it allows me as a manager to strategically plan and level set, right? Johnny Walker makes a comment, you sometimes find that the low hanging fruit never ends and the important strategic stuff never gets done. 100%, right? Which is why in that plan, especially when we're talking about like clear goals for the future, or, you know, they want a certain state to happen, that's where capacity management comes in, right? That's great. If we want to hit this goal, the threshold is too high, right? We need another body, or you need to adjust your expectations, or something needs to happen in order for us to achieve it.
Man.
Interesting. I find a lot of these things very relevant. I think a lot of what we're talking about here is being able to play in expectations, right? So a lot of this to me, this a lot of this falls under managing expectations.
Johnny Winter. Sorry. Did I say Johnny Walker? It's too early in the morning for that, man.
Well, I mean, Mike, you've done a countless stuff on this too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and so again, a lot of this is just around, I feel like a lot of this centers around managing expectations and then looking across the business. And so a lot of the times I think that the BI team gets a lot of heat for not delivering things, you know, all these, you know, data's not correct, all these, but these are things that are like more like what I would call pass through events, right? You know, business changes our mind. We have to shift our focus and our direction somewhere else, right? Someone has to set priorities and objectives for what's most invaluable to the business long-term here. So like, we're just, you know, we're all on the same team sometimes, but here's our process. And I think being clearer about communicating what that process is. And this is why I will say like a lot of topics we put around here, right? Defining who are the key owners of things. You know, where does the Power BI community live inside your organization? How can people get help? What does education look like? Those things are very important, right? For building reports, what are the key milestones in building a report? Do we have a full dev test prod environment? When something comes up, if there's an issue, who's owning the backlog of what's important or not? And that's where I think the executive sponsors really come into play here, because there's going to be a lot of requests on the BI team, and it will shift your focus away from certain things when it's not necessarily accurate. So those are other areas or other aspects that would be relevant for us to think through or put our minds around to document and put them in the center of excellence. A lot of this stuff really, again, if you have the process, where are you putting it? Is it some place that you can communicate and point people to what that process looks like? And so this is, again, another thing where I'm saying like, yes, come up with these processes, build them, generate them, but then be intentional about where you put them. Put them in a center of excellence. You know, put together a roadmap for your BI team. Think, you know, to Tommy's point, what does a 1 month, 3 month, 6 month plan look like? Publish that. Put that inside your environment. What are you working on? What are the major data sets that are happening in your organization that is being centralized or being worked to be centralized? You have a master data initiative that doesn't live in the BI team. It lives somewhere else. So anyways, really good topics. I think we've basically burned through a full another hour. It went very quick today. I always get these conversations. I think the first 10 minutes, I'm like, man, are we going to have a whole hour of this stuff? And I have to like cut it off short because it's going too fast. So anyways, with that, I want to say we appreciate you all very much. The chat has been very lively. We really thank you very much for jumping in the chat and talking and communicating about what's going on. We thank you very much for doing that and producing that content with us. Our only other ask is if you enjoyed this content, if this made made you think about some things around process or things you want to do in process in your organization, please share it with somebody else, if you wouldn't mind. Share it with somebody else who would also like to hear or see this content as well. Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
You can find them anywhere they're available: Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Make sure to subscribe, like it, leave a rating on that. Really helps us out. Or join the conversation live every Tuesday, Thursday, 7:30 a.m. Central. Share the word. That's the way you can help us out. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you all very much, and we'll see you next time. Bye.